Hi, everyone. I'm Anita Lustria, and in my world, conversation is king. A number of years ago, when I lost my big job of being a radio talk show host, I decided I could mope around and be sad. Okay, I did a bunch of that. Or I could move on and start a podcast so I could keep the conversation going. That's how this podcast was born. As you listen, you'll hear about things that are important to me, and hopefully you'll resonate with these topics as well. Welcome to Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, I have back with me my good friend Michelle Van Loon. You all are very familiar with her if you're regular listeners to the podcast. Writer, speaker, author, her new book, Becoming Sage. Is that the right title, Michelle?
That is.
Oh, good.
First of all, hey, everyone.
Yes.
And the title is Becoming Sage, Cultivating Maturity, Purpose, and Spirituality at Midlife. And that means midlife today.
Yeah.
In this crazy world that we're living in right now.
Super crazy. And so the reason that I have Michelle back, I think I felt it was very important for me here at Faith Conversations to address the anxiety and fear that is flowing ever so quickly and blossoming so largely. That's not really the way to say that, but in our world right now. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about. And Michelle and I have been texting back and forth about this. And I thought, you know what, no one better than Michelle to talk about this with for a number of reasons. And Michelle, you texted me this text, maybe a week ago. And I thought this was really interesting because you were at Kohl's shopping for a new glasses frame, right?
Well, I had just gotten some new frames.
Yeah, okay.
And there was a Kohl's right nearby, and I thought, I need to kind of walk around for a while and make sure that these are right, move my head around before I get in the car and go home.
Gotcha.
While I was in there, I saw myself in the mirror, and I'm like, well, don't I look foxy in these? So I snapped a picture and sent it to my kids and my husband. And the first words back, even though I was like, look, I got new glasses, the first words back were all in capital letters yelling, what are you doing in Kohl's? Why are you
out in public? They said.
Why are you out in public? And I was like, you guys, now there's a backstory
yes.
to that. And it goes beyond the current, we should all hunker down and socially distance and self-quarantine and all of these new concepts that have kind of come into our vocabulary. So, Anita, should I go ahead and
story? I will say this. I will say this. Eventually, they did tell you they liked your glasses.
Yeah.
We need to get that. We need to get that out there first.
Yeah, they did eventually remember the manners that I had taught them. And the thing that I was, you know, I was fishing for a compliment, not for
their hysteria. But yes, so the backstory, I think, is important. The reason that they were upset and wondering what you were doing out in public, and at this point, that this was probably a couple of weeks ago, the reason is what? Now, you fill in the blank for listeners who may not know this.
I have something that's called a primary immunodeficiency. I was born without a functioning immune system. Antibiotics and more antibiotics kind of treated the symptoms of the problem, but the problem itself wasn't diagnosed until about 4 years ago when I almost died of pneumonia. And that the treatment for it, there's no cure and they can't replace everything that my body is missing. So every week I have to borrow the immune systems of others in the form of a plasma product derived from about 150,000 people's donations of plasma and pump it into my body. And it is as uncomfortable and gross and expensive as you can all imagine. Mm. So I was already functioning with some of these things. I was the mom who was always like, don't worry about washing your hands. It'll toughen up your immune system. You're playing in the dirt. It's good for you kids to all be a little bit dirty, and all of the hand sanitizing protocols that have kind of crept into our culture over the last couple of generations, I always poo-pooed them until I realized that this was now going to be my new normal. So I've been, for the last 3.5 or 4 years, hand sanitizing and social distancing, doing some of those things kind of, probably not as assertively as I should. But now we're in this new normal, and I'm one of those people. And I think probably, I'm guessing a lot of the people listening to this podcast are, you know, probably not in their 20s and 30s. You know, a lot of your listeners are friends that followed you from midday. And so a lot of us are now in what they're telling us is a high-risk group now that we live in the age of coronavirus.
Yes, exactly. So thank you for that backstory, because I think that is helpful, you know, for people to know. And then I think what was interesting is, you know, your kid's reaction also got you thinking, and what was, you know, beginning to go on just a couple of weeks ago. We have really, within the last month, I mean, we have really, things have really ratcheted up in the last, you know, just few days, I would say 5 days maybe. But you got you thinking about Jesus and the leper, you know, thinking about mm-hmm. how Jesus deals with illness, untouchables, what we can learn from his example. You've since gone on to write a blog post about that, which I will link in the show notes. I want to say that, and you can say whatever you want about that. You know, you went on in your text to say, this is not the time for slogans, for people to say, fear not. There are, you know, a million different times in scripture that fear not is mentioned, and certainly it is mentioned, but maybe not the appropriate time for to throw out those little things like that.
I have a couple of things to say about this fear not talk. Some of the people who come out swinging with don't be afraid, courage, that kind of, these are true statements. The Bible tells us not to be afraid. But I've actually found that the more that you try to tamp down fear, if you've ever had an anxiety attack, and I did have a whole string of them last year at around this time, I kind of knew theoretically what an anxiety attack was before I started actually having them. Big transitions in my life, lots of feeling of things being out of control, plus my health things that were all going on. And I realized that telling myself to stop being afraid, all it did was just release all the remaining adrenaline that was not already zooming through my system, and it made it 10 times worse, 100 times worse. So I'm going to say the counterintuitive thing and say, actually, yes, you are afraid. But scripture speaks to that as well. And I really like the language. We can see it in Psalm 56:3, where the psalmist says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Not, don't be afraid, stop being afraid. The acknowledgement is, yes, I am afraid.
And that I will be afraid. It's not if mm-hmm. you ever are afraid, it's when, because it's an inevitability.
When? And I think let's just tell some truth here. Mm-hmm. We are all living through something. We've never lived through this before. None of us. I mean, that's true of every day of our lives, but a lot of the things that we expect, like toilet paper in the grocery store,
right.
or hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Or bleach. Mm-hmm. All of those things, we can't expect that to be there. And that whether you're buying a bunch of toilet paper or you go to the store and you don't see toilet paper, that's the reality for this particular week. We're taping on Friday the 13th, which I'm sure is spooky to anybody. But when I saw empty shelves, I had a little jolt of fear. This is real, people. This is not a drill. When I look at the stock market numbers and those numbers paint a picture of where we are, when I look at CDC statistics about the spread of disease, all of those things are fear-inducing. I am afraid. I'm just going to say it. I'm afraid. But that's not the end of the sentence. Mm. I still have to work my way back to a place of being back in relationship with God, knowing that his love for me outruns my fear.
Mm. That's a beautiful phrase.
It doesn't make it go away, though.
I know, but I still want to say that again. His love for me outruns my fear.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lovely phrase. And I think one of the things that I am reminded of in a time like this is the importance of spiritual practices. And some people might not be aware or maybe haven't been introduced to spiritual practices. If you've listened to the podcast, likely you have. Spiritual practices can be a wonderful opportunity for us to sit a little bit more quietly, especially in, you know, an age and time of anxiety. During the season of Lent, I've been introducing spiritual practices to my community of faith, to our contemporary worship service at my church, Church of the Palms. And one that we introduced last week, I think, is a wonderful practice to talk about today and to introduce to people, and that's breath prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, because as we know, maybe you've not thought about it, but God is as close as, is in our very breath. You know, we inhale and exhale without thinking. I mean, it is without thinking that happens. It's an automatic response. And we read in scripture, and some of us may have even memorized the verse that reads, pray without ceasing, or pray continually. And I just always feel like prayer is as close as our breath. And one way to pray continually is to exercise that spiritual practice of breath prayer, which is as simple as either choosing a scripture passage or a phrase that really quiets our hearts. I think of breathing in, be still and know, exhale, that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That's a favorite of mine. For some, it's the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Or one that's become a favorite of mine that I learned from Sharon Garlow Brown's book, Sensible Shoes, breathing in, God, I can't. You can. That's pretty simple, right? I can't. You can. And so, so I think, you know, when we're anxious, that beautiful practice of breath prayer, even if we set a little timer for 2 minutes, doesn't have to be lengthy, and just sit in quiet, because we probably have a lot more quiet time available right now with the way things are sort of closing down in the world, and we're asked to remain at home or not out and about as much. So we may have more time on our hands and a good opportunity just to set a little 2-minute timer and breathe in and out, sit with a scripture passage or a breath prayer that the Holy Spirit impresses on your heart. Michelle, your thoughts about this?
I was going to affirm that as I was having some honest to goodness anxiety attacks, and I realized that me telling myself don't be afraid just made it worse. What I learned to do was to slow my breathing down and breathe in really slowly for a count of 7 or 8, hold it for 2 or 3, and then exhale for even a second longer than I inhaled. And at first I just counted, just because I couldn't even think. But as soon as I could get a thought together, I introduced breath prayers like that into slowing down my breathing, so that I was consciously trying to slow down my breathing, calm down my heart rate, and turn myself over to God. I didn't all of a sudden feel a choir of angels singing around me, but I kind of bet they might have been, because God is near to the brokenhearted. He's near to the afraid. He's near to those who present themselves to him in weakness and sickness.
Yes, amen to that. I should mention Mike's favorite breath prayer, my husband Mike. I love this, and many people identify with this. Very simple. Lord Jesus, hold me. That's beautiful, and that might be a breath prayer that resonates with some listening to us today.
If you guys are trying this, if you're listening, and maybe you try this over these next few days, let us know what prayer the Spirit brings to your forefront. Mine was, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And it seemed like it captured a lot of where I was. I didn't think of it. It's just the words came out. So the truth is, it is scary. But when I am afraid, I can find my way to trust in you in this circumstance where we are.
I think another practical practice that has become one for me that I wanted to share with people, I shared this with my mom yesterday, and that is, you know, we are talking a lot about, kind of constantly, about hand washing, right? And we all know that happy birthday song so well. And now we've been asked to sing it twice in our heads as we're washing hands, not just once. And I have come to fill in the blank. You know, you get to happy birthday, dear, as you're singing the song. I have come to change up those words at the end and say, Lord, be near to Melinda, Michelle, whoever, fill in that blank, hold them close in your arms. That's how I finish the song. And so I've turned it into a prayer. I do sing happy birthday all the way through until I get to that moment, because it helps me keep on track with the song. But Lord, be near to fill in the blank, hold them close in your arms. And I love that. And that has helped me to pray for a variety of people multiple times a day, as I'm very much paying attention to and washing my hands more frequently. So I wanted to toss that in there as well, because that's personally been a real help to me. I've loved that.
I really like that. I've been singing the doxology.
Oh, yes, yes.
You only have to sing that once.
Yes.
But
that's good, too. I like that, too.
You know, that's good for worship, but one of the things that's helpful in this, even as we're all hunkered down and we're more socially isolated from one another, a lot of church services are being canceled. I know the church that we attend, we're all on hiatus. And so those places where we once were able to assemble in community, for worship and for learning and for service, you know, everyone's saying for a week or two, but at this point, on this day, we really don't know how this is going to unfold. So the other thing that kind of can help get us out of our head is finding ways to reach out to other people in service. I may not be able to maybe get together with somebody over a cup of coffee in a restaurant, and who knows how that's going to be. But I can Skype them. I can write them. I can text them. I can walk around my neighborhood and engage in social distance conversations with people in my neighborhood. There may be neighbors that if I'm going to the store, I can say, can I pick you up anything? That's so simple.
It is. You know? And you can, you know, you don't even have to be within 3 feet or 6 inches of them. You can leave it on their doorstep. If you're, you know, if you're in a spot where you're concerned, like you, Michelle, who has more of a reason to be socially distanced, as do elderly. And you and I, we live around a lot of people who are older.
Right. And I don't like to think
not
of myself
that we are
elderly, you guys, because I'm totally not. I'm super immature, but I'm 60 years old.
I hate when they say elderly and go 60 and up. Of course, me, I'm dancing in the streets going, yeah, I'm 59 for a couple more months.
3/4, not there yet. Okay.
But whatever. Exactly. Whatever is right. You forwarded to me, and I had seen this online as well, you forwarded to me this beautiful poem that Parker Palmer reposted. I've seen a number of people post it by Reverend Lynn Unger, and I don't know her, but, or I say her, I guess Lynn can be either, but
I just thought it was a girl.
I just assumed, me too. But the title of the poem is Pandemic, so... it's likely that this is a more recently written poem, I would guess, wouldn't you? But this is a beautiful poem. I don't know if you want me to read it and then maybe have you comment on it.
Does that sound good? You have such a beautiful reading voice. Yeah. And if you're listening, you're like washing your dishes or whatever, just stop for a moment. Yeah. And really hear these words. They're beautiful. They are. Go ahead.
All right. Pandemic. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing. Pray. Touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Mm. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is.
And I'm grateful that I've seen a number of people posting that. That's one of those things that's well worth posting on social media. And I think that's something else to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because information is important and we're reading a lot of information. It can also be overwhelming and anxiety producing. So mm-hmm. How, if we are someone who regularly is on social media, how might we contribute to the greater good of our broader community? Michelle, I know this is on your mind and on your heart and something that you pay attention to through your own platforms, which include personal and your author platform and Perennial Gen, that the site that is for those in midlife and beyond. I'll also link that in the show notes. So say a word about that. How do we contribute to that, to the broader community right now?
Well, I will say that I've yet to meet a person who can say that social media makes them less anxious.
Right. True. Sadly, yes.
I love information. I just love it. And I love knowing things. Yeah. I don't know if it's so much that knowing things gives me power. I'm just really wired to collect mm-hmm. information, and I love to be able to help people with it. And I also realize that there is a discipline that has to happen, because right now the news, it's always a fire hose on social media anyway. And we tend to be in siloed because of our preferences. We're getting only the news that's already confirming our biases, our fears, our politics, even our faith. And so being able to recognize that this isn't who we are, that poem, that prayer that you read by Reverend Unger reminds us that it is who we are committed to in real life, within our families, in our communities, with our groups of friends, and that's where the value is. Knowing stuff is really helpful, but also being able to put some discipline on yourself, put the brakes on. Hardly ever does social media, before I go to sleep, help me sleep better.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. So I fall asleep a lot of nights. I've long listened to podcasts before I go to sleep, because my husband, he doesn't snore as much as he used to since we moved to a more humid climate. But
excellent. You know,
I'm used to kind of drowning out that breathing sound. And, you know, we've talked about breath in lots of ways. I'm grateful for every breath he breathes. But I will listen to podcasts like Pray As You Go podcast, which is just a 10 or 15 minute kind of prayer podcast. There's other ones like that. This conversation might not be helpful right before you go to sleep, because we're talking about anxiety. So, you know, listen to it during the day. But being able to apply a little bit of discipline, I said this morning, we need to remember that this is not a sprint that we're in. This new normal that we're all discovering every day, this is a marathon, and we can only walk it one day at a time. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, that's one of my go-to prayers every single day, is to remember that we are time-bound creatures.
Give us this day our daily bread.
This day. What other things have you found helpful because you're coming off a period where you've been sick and socially isolated, you know, and, you know, people make jokes about it being an introvert's dream, but guess what? Introverts are like, no.
Yeah, enough already. Exactly.
I want to choose to be an introvert, not have it chosen for me.
Well, it was interesting. Past few days, Mike actually flew to Chicago to preach the funeral service of a dear friend who unexpectedly passed away. And I, you know, normally a couple of days away, in and out, I'm thinking, oh, great, he'll see friends, you know, and et cetera, even though it's a difficult and sad circumstance. But all of what's going on in the world and in our country heightened my anxiety about him being away. And, as, you know, if you don't know Mike, he's a jokester and so quick to say sort of funny things. I like to say, you're really funny, except when you're not. That's my favorite line, which I use often. And, you know, so Mike's like, yep, I'm taking off in that flying coronavirus tube on my way to Chicago. Like, It's hilarious. Not. Thanks. Not. Thanks for increasing my anxiety. And he kind of keeps us in touch with the news, and I sort of leave that to him. Well, he was gone, so I found myself turning on cable news and watching it a lot. I was surprised. That surprised me, but it was during a period when things were happening. Snap, snap, snap. You know, my son was about to fly down to enjoy a weekend with a buddy of spring training, staying at our home. Spring training canceled. My son not coming. And so I think what's... So all to say, you asked one question, and I'm taking it maybe a different direction. But what I realized was, okay, I need to move back toward those things like, as you just mentioned, Pray As You Go, which is a go-to for me each morning. I don't listen in bed before I go to sleep, but I listen to that first, and then I move into some other devotional reading. And to move away from cable news. I can read and find out all that I need to. I can read a late-breaking headline and be done with it. I do not need it regurgitated every hour on the hour. I think, you know, so for me, I had to pull away from that, which is something I don't normally do anyway, and to realize that... you know, God is with me. I just kept thinking, Emmanuel, God with us. And I just made it more personal. God with me in Mike's absence. And I thought, and it made me think of widows. My mom recently widowed, even though she was largely the caretaker. Still, you know, you're all of a sudden missing that other presence. This can be a real time of deep loneliness for some people that are alone. I think of the elderly population, those who can no longer be visited in nursing homes because of protocols that are being put into place. And so for me, I would also go back and say, I'm leaning into spiritual practices, as we mentioned earlier. Another favorite spiritual practice of mine, and I'll put this out there now too, that can be helpful to people, is simply setting a 1 minute timer, doing it twice. So it's a 2 minute exercise, but set your timer for 1 minute and just let and be silent, but just allow all of those thoughts that are racing in your mind to come to the forefront. Have paper in front of you, even jot down something that you don't want to forget that races into your mind, but let all of those things go over the course of 1 minute. And it's called, you know, my minute, God's minute. It's really all of yours, but you know, you let these things go and then reset, take a deep breath, reset for one more minute and have this be God's minute. And you can do any number of things. You can listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit for what he might want to say to you in that minute. Or you can lift specific prayers to God and have a conversation in that minute. You can take that any direction, really, but that's your minute with God. Certainly you can elongate this. It can be a 1 minute, 2 minute, 2 minute, 2 minute, but you get the idea. You get the idea. But I think sometimes when we engage in silence, we get frustrated because so many things are flowing through our minds, especially now. And we just need to give ourselves permission to let those things come and go. They are going to go through your mind, but and that's okay. It doesn't mean this is unsuccessful. Just give yourself a minute or two to allow those things to come and go. And again, jot something down you're afraid you'll forget later. So it's good to have that piece of paper and pen. And then when your mind quiets down, which may be just a minute, might be longer, but when it quiets down, then restart that clock and say, okay, now I'm here to listen to the voice of God, or I'm here to talk about my heartfelt needs and prayers and to raise people up to God, however you choose, but you're with God in that next time frame.
And that practice circles back to when I am afraid, I will trust in you, that you're acknowledging exactly what God already knows is true about you. I found when I've meditated on scripture, that being able to give myself permission, because a lot of it's my own expectation, my own judgy way that I can be with myself, like I should be able to concentrate and think high thoughts. And I heard a speaker a number of years ago say, if a thought comes in your mind, write it down, get it out there, verbalize, whatever you have to do. But that is a part of the process for you. That is not working against meditating in scripture. You're actually bringing your whole self to God so that you can then receive from him, that you can maybe stop running on the hamster wheel a little bit and receive. So I love that.
Yeah.
That's super helpful. And I hope it is for you guys listening too.
I love that you mentioned scripture and that particular one, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, and embedded in my mind, this dates me, are Steve Green, a musician who was really popular in the 90s.
Yep.
He had a series, a couple of kids' albums, Hide 'Em in Your mm-hmm. Heart, and it was all scripture. And every time I hear that verse, I hear Steve singing the song that goes with it. You know,
you're not the only one.
And I love that. There are a couple of Steve Green scripture songs that roll around in my mind. And it was interesting this morning, as I listened to Pray As You Go, they begin with music usually, a Tazay song, Bless the Lord, yeah. My Soul. I thought they played music longer than they usually do. And initially I was slightly annoyed. I'm like, come on, get on with it. And then I settled in and I thought, no, this, thank you, Praise You Go. This is what I need to hear this over and over, to wash over me. And, I think of, I'll just throw out another favorite. If you don't know the name of this artist, you know, ask, Google him, Fernando Ortega. Talk about wonderful, soothing music. Mike will go, and I'm afraid to say it out loud because it'll turn on here in the room where I'm recording, but you know, Alexa, because I'm not going to say it out loud, because literally it will turn on in the room. But say that, you know, turn on Fernando Ortega channel. There's a whole channel. It's Fernando Ortega music, and it's just
turn on behind you.
Wonderful, huh? Yeah, right. And one of my favorites of his is Jesus, King of Angels.
Yes.
So this song, when I was going through a very hard time in my life in early 2000, I had that on a loop on a cassette. Yep, back then my car had a cassette player, and I had it on a loop on a cassette, and I played it over and over, driving into Chicago to work and driving out of Chicago back home. And God used it. And I think those are the kinds of things that we need to be doing in a time of stress and anxiety. These are wonderful tools that God can use in our lives, and music is one of those.
And you know, here's another, like, I'm always looking, here's me looking for more information. If you're listening and you've got a particular favorite song that is very soothing, or an artist that you really like, you know, send it along, because yes. The more of that we have, you know, the internet can be used for more than just sharing bad news about the stock market.
Yes. So thank you. And that email address, by the way, is producer@anitalustria.com. It's always wonderful to hear from you. And if you know, if you found this podcast particularly helpful, it's always good to hear that. And as Michelle said, feel free to share some helpful things that have benefited you during this period of time. Michelle, another thing that I read online just today, it was on the front end, it was like, I think the editor writing her own letter before, you know, moving into some other articles that are on a women's leadership blog from Christianity Today. And I've got to remember her name. Do you know Morgan?
Morgan Lee.
Morgan Lee. Yeah.
She's got a middle name or a maiden name that That's a funny term. Anyway, that's for another
that's another exactly.
Thinking about that, like, that's amazing. Anyway, I can probably spell her maiden name, but I'm afraid I might be mispronouncing it. It looks Hawaiian or Polynesian in origin, but her last name is Lee.
Yes.
Anyway, and Morgan Lee.
She's the associate digital media producer, and so she only writes Morgan Lee online, probably because of what you just said, because her middle or maiden name is hard to write or pronounce. But I was interested because I looked at her picture and I thought, well, she's a youngster, and in fact, she says it in the opening line of her letter here, her post. She said, in the final months of my 20s, so she is young, I've spent the early parts of this year shrugging off the coronavirus. She said, I have a strong immune system. I'm decades away from being considered elderly. She's not in this target audience. And then she said, at long last this week, I was convicted of my own hubris and my myopic individualistic approach to a problem that involves billions more people than me. And I so appreciated that. That got me to sit up and keep reading, number one. I'm like, okay, she has just entered into new space, new territory. She goes on to say, yes, younger people have died of coronavirus, including one of the whistleblowing doctors. And I read the other day of a younger woman in Italy. So we know that's true. But even, she said, even if I do contract COVID-19, it's highly unlikely that I'll be one of the casualties. Here's the kicker here. She goes, but what I missed in my blasé attitude was that I can easily be a carrier. Through my own insularity, I could facilitate conditions that could lead to other people easily getting sicker. I could end up passing along the disease to someone who could die. The reality of coronavirus is that it challenges the very American cult of the individual. I love that she named that. She said, the idea that you take care of you and yours, but also the idea that if you're fine, then everything's fine. Wrote writer Anne Helen Peterson in her newsletter this week. And she goes on to say, COVID-19 then has been a chance for me to sit with just how me first my instincts truly are and to reflect on my own fragility and brittleness. And she goes on to say, she quotes Connie Jacob, who's a writer you and I know, the reason community often fails is because we want what we want first. We want our freedom, our dreams, our desires. We have been sold an individualistic message that tells us that these come first, but in order for God's idea of community to manifest, we must lay down our freedom for one another. This is where we know we're not just talking about love, but living it. Love that is shown through sacrifice is sacred. And that last paragraph was from Connie Jacob. Love that is shown through sacrifice is sacred. As this disease asks more and more of us to inconvenience ourselves in the days ahead, let's sit with these words. So your thoughts on what Morgan Lee said as this young, still 20-something.
Well, I was just struck as you were reading with the idea that a lot of what we've talked about is individual. You and I, this conversation has been about our response, our fear, all of those things. And I'm very grateful that you brought Morgan's words into this and Connie's and Anne Helen Peterson's to remind us also, we know that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We know this. But what that looks like now is exactly what Morgan said, which is that she may not feel personally impacted, and this is all very inconvenient and frustrating and scary in a different way, but this is also calling on us to respond not out of fear, but out of a sense of common good and communal care for one another. And so we have to balance our response that we need to be able to be in communion with God in order to figure out how to be in community with the people around us. And that may mean staying home. I mean, right now, it seems maybe a little counterintuitive. As things are shutting down, no basketball, no tennis, no baseball, no school, no church. But this is what neighbor love looks like for somebody that we may never interact with. You know, that we're making sure that resources are there so that if somebody goes to the hospital, every single human being isn't sick at one time.
Yes. Yes.
Which is, it's not a very American way for us to be. We're used to pursuing our dreams and being fabulous and, you know, achieving and buying our way out of just about anything. Mm-hmm. And now we're
none of that works. None of that works.
And we also, I think, need to recognize the grief. There's fear out there. There's anger out there. There's all kinds of frustration. All of our dysfunction politically, all of that stuff is all circulating, and we need to recognize underneath it all, there's also sadness, and the sadness can lead us back to God. There's grief.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you didn't get to see your son this weekend. That's a loss. My grandkids were talking about coming down here for spring break. Not happening. Loss.
Yes.
All of those things.
It's important to name that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's important to name that. Hey, you know, as we wrap things up here, I want to mention something that might seem kind of goofy here at the end. Sometimes I will mention supporting the podcast and, you know, give how you can do that through PayPal, which is through the same email. You can email us, producer@anitalustria.com. But that's not exactly what I want to talk about. I do want to say our many churches will be closing down, and I do have a concern. Please don't forget to support your local faith community. Sometimes people only do that when they're present. And so this is going to be kind of new territory, too, for churches whose staffs might be spread a little bit more thin. I've been thinking about that, too, to continue that support. You know, churches are reaching out, and they're likely not saying this. And I thought, well, I can say this to mm-hmm. pay attention to your faith community and supporting them. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I wanted to toss that in.
Well, I wanted to say I don't like the passing of the plate in a church service anyway. I've always been like, if there's a way to give digitally, just to go
us
online.
Too. Exactly.
You know,
might be a good time to transition to that for someone who's
case you were, but you can also mail a check the old fashioned way,
right.
And post office. God bless the post office workers who are on the front lines of all kinds of things right now. You know, there are ways to do that. And it doesn't exempt us from that communal responsibility. We need to be a part of our faith communities or to support ministries in your community that are working with the homeless who are at higher risk. You know, there's lots of ways for us to still be involved, even if we're not physically present today or tomorrow.
Excellent.
So I wanted to also just leave this is my last word.
Okay.
I have a prayer partner that I have prayed with for 20 years on the phone every Friday morning, just about. And she referenced a scripture passage that she and I have prayed for many years together about uniting our hearts to fear God's name. So as we talk about fear, that kind of fear that is an understanding of God's holiness and goodness and perfect love, is not the same kind of fear that is clearing off the shelves of the local grocery store of all toilet paper. But she brought me back to a version of that verse that is from the Geneva Bible. So this is even predates the King James Bible.
Wow.
And I really, really loved this beautiful Elizabethan era language of this verse from Psalm 86. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Knit mine heart unto thee, that I may fear thy name. He is in this, he is wanting to knit our hearts to his. And I really loved that language. It gives us the picture of uniting our hearts in a way that we're asking him to do the knitting right now as we feel very ragged and unraveled and frayed.
That's beautiful. What a great way to wrap our conversation. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate it.
Always good.
And to everyone else, as always, I say keep the conversation going, but with social distancing. Okay.
Yeah.